This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And, good to see Mobile County Commissioner District 3 Randall DeWitt in studio with us. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's always great to be here.
And it's good. Several things we want to talk about. One, of course, people probably heard the news update a second ago about the arming of, and this conversation has happened for quite a while, but having an armed law enforcement professional that would be associated with schools in the Mobile County Public School System. Is that the best layout for that?
Yeah, I mean, that's really a great way to describe it. It's something that's needed to protect our children. You know, I want, you know, the main thing that we want people to understand that we're not sending law enforcement officers into these schools to discipline your children. Right. They're going to have a sole purpose, and that is to hopefully keep away any violent crime from our schools that involve weapons and protect our children. You know, I have four kids in the public school, Mobile County Public School System, and it's just a way to, you know, the regular resource officers there will continue to deal with fights or
inside school things.
Yeah. And then, of course, the administrators will be there to deal with disciplinary problems, and the deputies will basically be there to handle any violent crimes that may come their way. And hopefully we don't see any, but this is kind of a deterrent to hopefully keep it from getting to that point.
You know, it's almost like a bumper sticker phrase, but it's true, and we've talked, and there's reasons why this hadn't happened in the past and things have changed, but the places we secure in our world, okay, let's talk about where you work. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're there with the Mobile County Commission, City Council in those same buildings, you got courts in those buildings. Those places are provided armed security, banks, armed security. If we go down the list of things that are important, all those things I just named are important, but every last one of us would say our children are more important than any of that.
Absolutely. I don't disagree at all. You know, and this is you know, I want to give credit where credit is due, and so I'll say that Johnny Hatcher on the Mobile County School Board, one of the board members there, he's been the driving force behind this from the very beginning.
He was talking about when he was running for office.
Yeah, he was, and this was one of his platforms. And you know, these are like promises made, promises kept from him on the school board to make sure that our children were protected. It's important to everybody, but Johnny got really behind this, and he coordinated with the county commission, mainly myself, and with Sheriff Birch, and that's really been the driving force. We're fortunate that you know, that the school system has the funding and they're going to be able to help fund that.
Well, okay, and that's what I want to talk about, because, and obviously you come at this through you know, a career of law enforcement as well in that service. But when I hear over time, well, we don't have the money to do this. In the past, it's been said, and we, you know, and one part of it was we don't have the money to do it all, and then it was, well, we can't put somebody at every school. Those seem like, to me, they are just excuses for not doing something.
No. Well, and that's...
Right? I mean, like, even if you couldn't... So don't do anything, you know?
What do you spend your money on? I mean,
correct.
That's more important than our kids. I mean...
I'm looking at a text line full of people that say exactly that.
You know, I mean, that's what's important. The children are the future of our country and the future of our community, and we've got to make sure that they're protected as well as anybody else, you know, or better, you know.
There you go,
better. They have a, I guess, a fundamental right to get an education and be safe while they're there doing it. So,
and in doing this, you're talking about the funding. Is it all from Mobile County? Because, I mean, you know, how you separate out the money? I mean, is it specific to the school system, or does the county commission then fund? Then goes to the school system and out. I mean, how does the money get there? How does money get to a deputy or a police officer that will be there at a school?
So several things helped with this situation. Number one, the legislature removed some stipulation of retired law enforcement officers who were working through the RSA who could only make $30,000 a year.
I believe they
were capped, just like I would be, because I'm, you know, worked at the sheriff's office in that same system. But they raised that to $50,000 a year, which gives Paul Birch the opportunity to hire some of these retired deputies who could still work. So that was one element of it. The second element, you know, the school system has the extra money. I think it's $1.7 million the first year, and I think $1.2 million for the second and third year. And that will cover basically the cost of a deputy to work, and that'll cover the cost of some of the insurance and things of that nature. And then I guess the county commission will absorb the cost of maybe vehicles and some equipment. So it's a joint. The majority of the money is coming from the school system, and it's just going to be in a and we're still trying to iron through it. It was on the agenda yesterday. We mm-hmm. moved it to the next week to make sure legally that everything, you know, how things are when you start getting attorneys involved. So, yeah. But that's really the only holdup. It's just to make sure that all the wrinkles are ironed out. But that's the majority of the funding will be coming from the school system, and we'll have a MOU or a memorandum of understanding between the county commission, the sheriff's office, and the school system.
So those people, the officers and the deputies, they will be employees of the respective law enforcement and not the school system, right?
They will all be employees of the sheriff's office.
Okay, all will be employees, yes, of the sheriff's office. So they will be, so all the things that go for certification, all those kind of things come through the sheriff's office.
They will all, most of the deputies that are going to be doing these positions are already certified police officers, and that's what's
right,
important.
That's a good thing.
You know,
yeah,
that's important. Your APOS certification. I'm APOS certified. I've been through the proper training to be a law enforcement officer. These guys will all be the same. They'll be APOS certified, and for the most part, we're not talking 70 and 80 year old retired deputies. We're talking, you know, if you started your career in law enforcement like I did, I mean, I've got almost 30 years. If I was still at the sheriff's office, I'd have almost 30 years, and I'm only 50 years old. Mm-hmm. So these guys may have recently retired and be in their early to mid-50s, and they're going to basically be coming back and so-called double-dipping, if you want to say that. They'll be drawing their retirement, and they'll also be available to provide a service that, you know, that they could do instead of having to go outside
and start it all over again.
That's right.
So I'm looking at the text line. How many deputies are we talking about?
So right now we're looking at 12 deputies.
Okay.
And the way that's going to work is we're going to concentrate on having a deputy's majority of his time spent at high school. But that deputy, if the understanding that I have, and this is all being still ironed out a little bit, but for the most part, the deputy that's at the high school will also be responsible for the feeder pattern schools that come into that high school. So you take Baker High School, for example, and I use it because that's where my kids go.
Right.
But you take Baker, and that'll be his main responsibility. And then it's similar to what the officers that work at the school do now. You know, the officers are there that work for the school system, and he'll be responsible for Causey Middle School. And then they'll be responsible okay. for that school, for example, is Collier Elementary School, Taylor White, some kids from Tanner Williams Elementary, so Dawes Intermediate, O'Rourke. So they'll also be responsible for those schools. So they'll be roving, which is a good thing. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't want a stagnant deputy sitting in one place all the time where a bad guy may say, well, I know the deputy's over here, so I'm going to go over to this school.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. You may be surprised when you show up at the school. The deputy may be at that school. So it's a good thing to have them roving. Eventually, we would like to expand it to where maybe we have more deputies in more schools. We have, I think, 96 schools in Mobile County Public School System, you know. So we're trying to get it started and hopefully grow it into where we have a deputy at every school in Mobile County.
Okay. I'm going to kind of paraphrase a couple of people's text. This is, well, I'll ask you, is this in addition to locked doors and all that at schools?
Absolutely.
Or is it, okay.
I mean, this is
that
just,
protocol is still that.
Those the same protocols that the school system already have will still be in place. There will still be resource officers
inside,
there
yep.
to deal with lesser evils,
mm-hmm.
so to speak,
sure.
drug charges, fighting, whatever the situation may be.
Right.
These deputies, you know, I want to emphasize, and I have from the beginning, they will be there really to take out a bad guy, you know,
mm-hmm.
Someone there to do harm to our children. That will be their only function at that school.
So, and this is now in effect, you said we got a week for next time because the attorneys are looking at it, and this happens, best guess.
Sure. I would say less than a month, you can expect to start seeing these deputies. Okay. It's going to take a, you know, I think what we'll probably do, and I say we, I mean Sheriff Birch, is maybe take some guys from some other units right now to fill these positions until they can hire up. Of course, it just we're just like anybody else. It's hard to find help, and so.
But that word's got to, I mean, there, to me from the outside, not being in law enforcement, there's got to be some appeal to that. Somebody who's like, okay, yeah, because, I mean, they're in their 50s, and point out at 51, that's not old.
It's not old at all.
Right, preach, preach. So they're not old. They still got a lot of life in their legs and do it, and they got a chance to do this specific thing that's going to be applauded. You know, as tough of, you know, rap as law enforcement gets, I don't know anybody who'd be angry at the, you know, the wolf that guards the school.
No, absolutely. You know, and, you know, the most of the guys I would venture to say that I know I've worked with over the last 25 years, and, you know, you don't want to hire someone that you don't know and someone you don't trust. You don't want to have a situation, and I hate to bring up bad situations, but like Florida, where the deputy heard the shots and went the other way. You know, these guys are going to be guys that I've worked with and I would trust my life with.
Well, when that happened, when Uvalde happened, folks like you that I know just said, I don't understand that. That is not what we train. That's the 180 to what you train for.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to come back. I want to shift gears a little bit because it got my attention, I guess, at yesterday's meeting, too. You and I have talked a bunch about the work being done in the southern end of your district. Yep. And in Cedar Point, we talked about a bunch. But restoration of the shoreline back to what it looked like when? Like 1917 or something
Long time ago.
All right, this is interesting. We're coming right back. More with Mobile County Commissioner Randall DeWitt right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And in studio, Mobile County Commissioner, District 3, Randall DeWitt. And this, so I saw the coming off of y'all's meeting yesterday as a award of a contract to restore not only 3.3 miles of the shoreline along Dauphin Island Causeway, to restore it to 1917.
That's
1917.
Right.
So that got my attention big time. So talk about how this whole process happened and why, you know, the significance of that time period and what y'all are doing.
So this is a grant that we accepted back in May of 2021, and it's NFWF funding, which is National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, along with the Gulf Environmental Benefit Funds, which is most of the money comes from the Deepwater Horizon oil spill.
So there's buckets. Remember, y'all, the buckets of money for different projects.
So this is you know, that BP oil spill money that's coming to the state of Alabama going to great use, in my opinion. I'm very excited about the project. It's a $26 million project that we'll be awarding to a contractor. That's just kind of the first phase, so it'll be the breakwaters that you'll see. They'll start about where Bayfront Park is, if you're familiar. That's a park that in my district that we're in process of.
By the way,
renovations on that park, too.
And yeah, because you and I talked about that last time. It's pretty – it's a neat spot, but you're doing a bunch of new updates there.
Yeah, so we built that pocket beach, and we burn up a lot of money doing that. And that money also is money that's not – I like to always emphasize a lot of these projects in my district, because of the shore and because we live on – it doesn't cost the county residents anything.
Right.
There's no match on this $26 million that's coming to us.
Yeah, and so, it's coming from BP.
It's coming from that. And so it'll start there about Bayfront. And I'm hoping, you know, we awarded the contract yesterday as well. I don't know if you saw that on our agenda, for Bayfront Park. The holdup with it's a $4 million job when we had it estimated, and the bids were just a little higher, so we had to come up with some extra cash. But we're hoping before middle of next summer that park will be up and running, and that'll include the pocket beach, the parking lots, the restroom and office facility, the boardwalk, and the playground, and the new pavilions down there. But anyway, back to the question at hand. So this is going to build the shoreline back out to historical markers of 1917, which is going to be...
And not in our, you know, I mean, maybe some of the... No, Dr. Bill Williams might be listening. Other than Dr. Bill, maybe we don't know what it looked like in 1917.
Other than pictures, I don't recall.
But it was further out, right? That's the thing that we don't know. Even as guys growing up going to Dolphin Island as kids, I didn't remember.
Yeah,
it goes a good distance out.
All I remember is what's basically there now, mm-hmm. or maybe, you know, a little bit more, because every time you have a storm,
right,
it gets a little closer to the road, and you know what the goal is here is to protect that road. That's the only road to what the mayor likes to, you know, the Sunset Capitol.
Shout out to Mayor Collier.
Yeah, shout out to Mayor Collier, because really everything I'm doing in that area is because that is, you know, I like to call it the playground of Alabama, the playground of Mobile County. And so everything we're doing is building everything up to that point. See, you take Cedar Point Pier, you take Bayfront Park, you take the shoreline restoration project that we're talking about today, and it'll go from there. And it's going to go up to right before Jemison's. Mm-hmm. And anybody from that area knows where Jemison's is at.
We all know where Jemison's is. I've
which is the only property that the county actually doesn't own from Bayfront Park to Cedar Point. So
really?
We own everything else down there.
But the land, so somebody's picturing it. Okay, they're heading to the island, they're heading south. So to their east, off the left here.
To their left.
They're going to see, it's going to be some, the way I understand this, it's going to be some distance before. You'll have like marsh and beach and those kind of things out there, right?
That's right. It'll be, that shoreline will be extended some places 500 feet, so 300 to 500 feet. It's 3.5 miles of breakwaters. They'll come just shy of Jemison's and turn in, go to the other side of the cutoff, and then go from the cutoff all the way to Cedar Point.
Okay, so it'll pick up south.
It'll pick up south.
Cutoff and go.
That's right.
And you know, you're talking about protecting the road for sure, because even when you get the storm comes up, it leaves a bunch of debris on there.
Yeah.
That comes up, and they have to clear that. But also, I mean, you and I are both guys that like to fish, all that. We need more marsh. We need more habitat for more baby fish and to clear water. And it looks like that might be part of this agenda.
So that's really, I was getting to the exciting part, and you tried to steal my thunder.
That's what I do. That's what I do, man.
But that's the exciting part for me is what it really does for the habitat to create habitat for the species as far as shellfish, oysters, speckled trout, redfish, mm-hmm. flounder, all those inshore species that this is going to be building habitat for, you know, and that's really the exciting part for me, is to be able to preserve that kind of thing for your kids and my kids, mm-hmm. because, you know, I know you and me, we're teaching our kids conservation, we're teaching our kids friendly fishing mm-hmm. methods and techniques, and so we want to make sure that this habitat is here for many years down the road.
You know, and talking to people on the science side of this over time, I think we can build this snowball. Projects like this move along, but you know, you do a project, helps get more shellfish, more oysters, more grasses, clears the water, lets oysters go deeper, that clear mm-hmm. the water more, that lets oysters go a little bit deeper, you know, and clear things up, and the grasses growing because they can get sunlight down there, and maybe the bay, you know, isn't always so muddy.
Yeah, and this is, I do want to mention too, you know, I want to thank a couple people if I can.
Sure.
Starting with Governor Ivey, she's been instrumental in this, and Commissioner Blankenship from Marine Resources, Natural Resources.
DCNR,
DCNR. Chris has been instrumental on all of these projects.
It's good, I mean, to have a South Mobile County boy.
You
in
know,
the mix.
There is no better benefit to having a South Mobile County Bryant High School graduate in that position for our coastline and for Mobile and Baldwin counties. But I want to thank Chris, and I want to thank the governor, and I also want to thank Tina Sanchez. She works, you know, as you know, for the county. She's the director of environmental services, and really none of this would be possible without the three of them working hard together to get it done.
And they've been, that's one thing. I mean, right now it's the, wow, this is happening finally, but you said, when did y'all start working on this project?
So it was, I would say the project, we accepted the grant in May of 21.
Yeah.
So probably 2 years prior to that, even before I was in office, all these grants, and that would be, you know, mostly Tina and Chris working to get these funds secured to get them down here to do this project.
Speaking of the project, guy, look at it. This texter says, unnamed texter, Can you ask Randall if there is some way we can see details of this project? Will there be
absolutely
like a map and a graphic?
If you go to the county's website or you go to the county's Facebook page, you'll see graphics. And Sean, I think if not, I can get them to you, and you can put
share
them on
our social media,
on your website, mm-hmm. and social medias. And it has a beautiful graphic that we had blown up, and it shows exactly where the breakwaters are. Now, the breakwaters are the first part. The second phase is filling those breakwaters in back to the shore, so that people don't go down there and go, well, I thought they said there would be shoreline from here to those rocks.
But you got to build the breakwater.
The breakwaters, and so the master plan ultimately has to deal with working along with, you know, some other people to think, the Corps of Engineers, because, you know, there's a huge expansion of the ship channel in Mobile, and so that spoil material, which is mostly sand, mm-hmm. will be dumped on the inside of those breakwaters all the way to the shoreline, which will create what we're talking about ultimately here.
Which is, back to a tired old argument I made, that's what... And I love the ship channel and what it brings to the, but if we didn't have it, that stuff would be coming over there anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. That's, we're just bringing it back to the spot it is. And we've got like 30 seconds here, but I got to ask you, we've talked Cedar Point in the past, we talked about this project, boat launch up there. I know.
So I was going back to Commissioner Blankenship and what a great job he does for the people of Mobile and Baldwin counties. We just were granted a Go Mesa, $4.5 million Go Mesa grant to build a boat ramp
direct, like right across from
right across the street,
Cedar
Point Pier. So there's going to be a boat ramp there. I'm looking to have possibly 70 parking spots, and it's going to be utilized by commercial fishermen and recreational fishermen
and me.
Alike.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have to talk to the news. 70 parking spots.
I hope to have 70.
All right.
Might have more, may have less. I don't know.
Okay.
70 is my goal.
A lot of people paying attention there, big time. Commissioner, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Get you back soon. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. We'll grab some of these texts. Also, Michael Yaffe of The Yaffe Show joins us.
With the multitude of threats that businesses face, from the cyber world to the physical, Ascension Technologies can help your business stay safe and secure in both of the worlds. Ascension Technologies now provides powerful video surveillance solutions that work to protect your business and assets 24/7. Technology constantly analyzing threats and working for you. Call us.